Hi all, welcome to the Zero to Infinity podcast. I am Kishan. I have with me here Avnish, founder and managing partner Z47, and CV Chandrasekhar, who leads all things consumer and consumer tech at the fund.
Consumer founder should really be thinking that AI is my why now moment of a moat against incumbents as well as competition.
Digitizers are very interesting businesses. Large TAMs always been fragmented.
Sam Altman made this point that again to the iPhone movement, that ultimately what won was UX and experience.
Yeah.
And that's what will win. And therein lies a massive, massive opportunity.
I think the mistake people make is to say, AI in D2C brands, let me immediately run to chatbots.
India is likely best in class in terms of delivery timelines.
My biggest goal from this is to get founders excited. We are not seeing enough entrepreneurship.
What are the trend lines in consumer that we are really excited about?
What happens is, this is a classic period that all developed GDPs in the world, developed countries in the world would have gone through, and very similar patterns play out.
How does the next year and the next 10 years look like for the sector, and what are sort of the building blocks in place to start us off?
India is a consumption economy. So if India is going to boom, which sector is going to boom the most?
We will be discussing five big trend lines. The number one is the premiumization opportunity, and number two is what we like to call full stack brands. Then we'll talk about the microtransactions in consumer tech, media, social opportunity. Makes sense. Actually, that brings us perfectly to the fourth trend line, chapter number four, which is, what does AI-enabled future for consumer apps look like, right? Consumer and consumer tech looks like. To start us off, let me sort of reframe the kind of opportunities that are there, and I'm borrowing from what CV you mentioned once, right? Like, there's, of course, the disruptor opportunity, which is to say, existing online GDP or existing online TAM, what is the 10x on the consumer experience and how do you disrupt that? So what does a disruption of Flipkart, Myntra, some of agentic for shopping, conversational, co-pilot for shopping, but what does Flipkart, Myntra, Nykaa, Make My Trip, etc. possibly getting disrupted looks like, right? There's, of course, also the digitizer opportunity, which is to say, there's a bunch of TAM or spend pool that has never come online because it's just not a 10x customer experience. So it stays offline. It could be where value hasn't aggregated, something like prop tech, could be travel, where value has gone to 20 different players because no one player has sort of cracked the code. And then there's the enabler business, which is, what is the rails to build that 10x shopping experience, that 10x browsing experience look like? Abhi, I want to start with you. You've sort of seen it all. You've seen a bunch of these revolutionary themes come by, right? Like, right from the dot-com, then to the smartphone, internet, right? How do you think of the disruptor and the digitizer businesses come AI?
I'm sorry, before you start, yeah. When AI had started off, I had asked you, Avi, what is this trend line looking like for you? And I remember, and this was about a year and a half back, and you said, CV, it'll be slowly and then suddenly.
Yeah.
Right? And there's going to be a gap between actual value creation and technology sort of getting there. Maybe you can also start off with, do you still stand by slowly and then suddenly, or did it happen
suddenly? Suddenly is done. So there were two suddenlies, one which people know and one which people don't know. But let's step back. If you look at the various so-called bubbles, manias, this, that, whatever, it's, although I would say people don't anymore think that, but about a year and a half ago, people used to wonder whether AI is one of them. So there was a dot-com bubble and build out, which bust. Then there was a telecom before that, was cable television. There was crypto in between. And there have been many things that are ahead of their time, or where actual performance has not lived up to potential, like quantum computing, although Microsoft came up with a new chip, right? So I've seen many of these. From the get-go, it was clear AI was not that. There were two big inflection points. One was April through September last year, which people don't realize. So ChatGPT moment, everybody realizes. Then people trying to catch up late in 23, people realize. What people don't realize is people caught up very fast. Llama came, And of course, there was a drop of some of the code getting out in the public domain, which was not supposed to. Then it became open source. Many other models started catching up. April to September last year, cost per token dropped by 90 to 95%. Big moment came. But it was still too high. Then came DeepSeek. It dropped by another 90 to 95%. It's literally 1,000th of what it was before. So and Sam Altman says the new Moore's law is it'll go down by 90% every 12 months. It's been happening faster, right? I think, by the way, the next moment, one of the great models that's out there now is Grok 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. For gaming and stuff. People are not even to keep up with what is happening. So I believe I have not seen the space before, because the difference this time versus the internet era was, in internet, the usage was not immediate. Mm. So you built, you overbuilt, and then it exploded. I believe people are building and overbuilding here, but it is catching up also very fast. It's catching up the fastest I've seen. Mobile also, the iPhone to the App Store was 2 years apart. Yes. App Store to the best apps coming out was another 2 years, right? Today, actually, all of that is happening simultaneously. But my view, we will, and I've said this on some of our other AI podcasts, to your point, experiences can be reimagined, all of that, right? I think we'll look at, you weren't born then, but there was something called MS-DOS before Windows.
Right?
And I think ChatGPT is the MS-DOS moment.
Right.
There is going to be so much built later. In the ultimate, and I thought Neuralink was the only brain connection company out there. I was reading a report. There are seven. I think it will first go to, you say it and it happens. Mm. And at some point it will go to, you think it and it happens. But let me ask you this. You said make my trip. I know you love traveling. We all love traveling. Why can't I speak into my phone and have an itinerary, maybe spend 15 minutes going back and forth with an agent, and at the end of it, say, go book? What do you think are the constraints to that?
I think in the AI world, just because these agents have so much more context about who you are, what do you like, what are your preferences like, I think we'll likely see a new interface of what a consumer app looks like.
But why isn't this there today? When things are moving so fast, why isn't it there today?
I think a couple of things, right? Like, the companies or the players with the consumer pool right now are also the ones who are more set in their ways. They are humans in the loop. They have a large sort of call center team. And by the way, big caveat, right? Like, when we talk about AI, we're not just saying that it's new companies coming and reimagining. It could be somebody disrupting themselves. It could be Make My Trip coming and saying, boss, maybe we don't need...
By the way, some of them are doing a very good job. But let's go down to the technical reasons, right? First of all, the models were not ready. Then the models are rapidly becoming ready. They don't hallucinate as much. But if you have to book a ticket, booking.com, Travelocity, American Airlines, Air India, they have to be enabled for agents. None of that software exists. Yeah. Therein lies a massive opportunity for agentic companies. But my point is, Sam Altman, literally, I think it was a year and a half ago, now it feels like an eternity. He made this point that, again, to the iPhone movement, that ultimately what won was UX and experience.
Yeah.
And that's what will win. And therein lies a massive, massive opportunity, because all these companies, Make My Trip has now become a $13 billion market cap company, right? All these companies with a better UX, and this is actually a deep tech product. So if you build it well, then you will have serious moats.
Absolutely.
Right? Everything is waiting to be disrupted.
Yeah. I think that's a great question. Say, why isn't it built already? You're right. Technologically, we are kind of there.
Yeah.
There is some hallucination. Maybe you will throw, 2% people at the problem in some form, the rest 98% done by AI. So I think the technology is there. The points that you made post that, I think is the reason. So we're just waiting for that entrepreneur, the Travis Kalanick, who will come and say, this is the UX.
To book
a cab.
Yeah. And for example, I am right now, as we speak, back and forth with a hotel for my travels. I'm going with family, so I wanted that comfort that when in doubt, who to call.
Yeah.
That also has to be solved. And when in doubt, your AI agent should be with you, and they should be able to resolve all issues. Yeah.
a very large, I won't give the name out, but a very large Indian unicorn is building exactly this. They're building sort of luxury services, if you will, with throwing AI at the problem and then people when it's required at the very end. So I'd make the argument UI UX is one component. I'd make the second argument to say there needs to be some more business folks married with tech folks who think of the business model differently. Yeah. How do you price some of this?
Again, you gave Travis's example or you look at Bhavish's example. Yeah. These are business model innovators and disruptors. Absolutely. By the way, I didn't go through your framework. You should talk a little bit more about your disruptor, digitizer, enabler framework.
Yeah. Actually, let's pick that up first. So we've got three, like Kishan outlined, we've got disruptor, digitizer, and enabler. Disruptor is technically to say there are these horizontal marketplaces, but then there are vertical marketplaces as well. There's Nykaa and Myntra and all of that. What is the new way to shop across Flipkart, Myntra, Nykaa? And what's the right UI UX to build that shopping experience? Here, same argument. What is the UI UX and what is the unique business model that allows for you to disrupt this opportunity? Right. I think the digitizer and the enabler pieces are slightly more interesting. Right. Because commerce will continue and maybe Amazon will build its own chatbot. But there are so many sectors which are not online yet. So like PropTech is still what? At 1.0. You're at classifieds level still, right? There is a picture, there's a broker who says, ye toh ghar hai nahi, kuch aur hi ghar hai. The broker will come and show different. So it's still stuck at classifieds.
And one of the biggest sectors of the economy.
Yeah.
And maybe there is a huge why now there also with the fact that digitization of all the records.
Absolutely. Digitization of records, the experience that you can give to a consumer to select a place to stay, the land property dealings. There's just so much stuff you can pull out and bring it out. So that's PropTech. Let's look at other businesses. So EdTech hasn't completely moved on. A large part of EdTech is still classroom learning, right? This is, and we've had multiple unicorns in India trying to chase some of these ideas. But what was the problem? They were pricing the customer out. At some point in time, the customer thought, you know, this is just content on a tablet.
Yeah.
And I don't want to pay for this. And this is too expensive. So what is the ubiquitous Google Maps equivalent? When I say Google Maps, I say, if you don't use Google Maps, then what are you doing, right? That's how we look at your life right now. That's a completely different UI UX. That's how you decide where to eat. That's how you decide where to send your kids to school. It's everything, right? Now, what's the equivalent of that in travel, in PropTech, in EdTech, etc.? So digitizers are very interesting businesses. Large TAMs always been fragmented, right? And then I'll connect that to enabler as well. If you look at it, this also exists across services. So marketing agencies have never been aggregated. Yeah. It's always a WPP or a Dentsu will buy this 5-member team, 10-member team, 20-member team, and then they will spin out and they will create. So there are these opportunities happening on fragmentation, coming together, coalescing into larger orgs. I believe AI is the why now for some of these businesses to exist. I want to delve into enabler, but before that, I know you mentioned AMP, but it'll also be good to sort of explain what AMP does for brands. If you could do that, then we'll sort of segue into enablers.
So, you know, almost everything that a D2C company does involves some level of human intervention. Let's say you're doing your performance marketing, which is well known. You're doing customer support. You're doing visual merchandising. You're doing product management. All of these, you could have agents doing for you.
Yeah.
Right? So what AMP does is it's more an agentic infrastructure company. Specifically as it comes to consumer brands, where I think personalization on steroids can actually create a big moat and it compounds with time, you can have agents for that. So I think the best way for, and there's a video we should link over here, where I think consumer founders should really be thinking that AI is my why now moment of a moat against incumbents as well as competition. And also, if you think about it, you were talking about, you know, large organizations may not be adopting some of this very closely, fast. We used to say product love is, you know, Minimalist just got bought by HUL. Obviously, product love, some level of product innovation. We could never go up against the marketing muscle or the distribution of these companies, right? I think AI gives them another moat. I think all these companies will have serious FOMO. They will want all of this skill set in-house. And if you are a real, true brand, which is also AI native, I think you're, if you want to sell, but more importantly, if you want to compete better, I think it'll be a big, big...
Yeah, completely agree. And this enabler is across the D2C stack, right? So I was just trying to list the number of companies that could get built, right? Where is the new age Nielsen? Nielsen is still running on kirana shops, going surveys. Where is the new age Kantar, right? All of our sales is online. Our penetration is going up like crazy. And yet we rely on hardware on televisions to tell us what the BARC ratings are and hence what to advertise on, right? So let's break that stack down. Market research, which is the Nielsen and Kantar, we should build that. Marketing, what AMP is doing. I'd make the argument to say also formats. A lot of the video creation tools are right now being run by Meta and Google. They say, this is the catalog ad, you run this, right? How does that allow you to differentiate? So to build a unique personalized marketing experience and reach out to each human being, talk to them differently, you do need AI. I think the mistake people make is to say, AI in D2C brands, let me immediately run to chatbots. And I'd say that should be the beginning of the imagination, not the end, right? So marketing is a large stack. Too many marketing agencies, they're going to get disrupted. Either disrupt yourself or die is the way you should think about it, right? But there are other unique problems that... So for Unilever, is a company headquartered globally, multiple geographies, multiple SKUs, changing every season, the different channels. There's an Amazon channel, D2C channel, etc. There is no way for Unilever to say, I'm going to change all of my campaigns for this certain brand. First, evaluate and tell me how it's looking across channels and make the change. It's humanly impossible for them to make the change, track, etc. by the time the season's live. Right. So I think it makes the enterprises more nimble. It allows for the startups to now say, I have a more customer-focused, more personalized distribution solution. And by the way, this is all the way through. Enterprises and D2C startups also struggle from manufacturing me, SKU kahan hai to where is it, to QuickCom, warehouse mein hai ki nahi. There's just so many massive problems across the market.
Speaking of QuickCom, and I know you're going to get into it, but even there, now companies are telling me my market share in QuickCom is X. I'm like, how do you know?
Yeah.
And then we all know there's some companies scraping the websites and figuring it out, right? But that's right now kludgy solutions. Yeah. I mean, this should all be actually.
Yeah. So, and the reason why I think Enabler is also exciting is this is kind of like the Freshworks playbook. Like India builds for the world.
Yeah.
Initially, you may have to, because of the hallucination problem, throw a little bit of services at the end to eyeball some of this stuff. And after a while, once you have the cost advantage and the AI tech advantage to say you've learned enough, now it starts getting you more cost close to zero for you, right?
Yeah.
And hence, it's super exciting. I know you touched upon QuickCom. We should go to the next one.
Yeah. So our last.
Why do you point to him? He's QuickCom.
He is. Kishan has done.
He's ADD, the classic Gen Z.
Kishan is not just an investor, but also a consumer of QuickCom. So everything happens last moment.
Well, that's exactly our last topic for the day. QuickCom for X. What does vertical specific tailored quick commerce look like, right?
I know you've been spending a lot of time on this, Kishan. So why don't you take us through your point of view on quick commerce?
All right. Let me be bold here and start with an assertion. Like, I think undisputably, globally, India is probably best in class in the financial services stack. UPI, connectivity, Aadhaar, all of that, right? I think India is probably on its way already there or getting there in terms of delivery timelines, fulfillment experience, right? Some of the enablers are already in place.
You know, it's a controversial statement you made. And I was thinking, can we really say that when I look at China? And this is where we got QuickCom wrong. When we had looked at this stuff in China, we were told you need very high density of population. So, you know, only in these towers, there's that. It's been proven wrong. So I can see why what you're saying might be true, which is, you know, we have actually managed to do something no one else did.
Yeah. So let's push that, right? Like, let's take Instacart, for example. Like $11 billion, of course, at its peak, probably even higher. Only does slotted deliveries, has found PMF in certain categories, getting to PMF. But if you look at our homegrown solutions tailored to India, Blinkit, Zepto, Instamart, right? Getting there across a bunch of categories, best-in-class delivery timelines, low variability even in high demand times and micro markets, right? So which is why I make the assertion that India is likely best in class in terms of delivery timelines. I think India is also uniquely positioned to do this, right? All the enablers are showing up. There's all the logistics and warehousing infra getting set up to support this. There's, of course, we've already touched on it, consumer willingness to pay for that convenience has showed up. And of course, capital inflow has also shown up to curate this. Let's define what QuickCom for X is, right? X could be fashion, food, beauty and personal care, even services and much more. How does that play out? Number one, customers, of course, are now accustomed to faster delivery timelines. I think there's, of course, the quick commerce channel which has shaped this behavior, but customers are increasingly demanding off of that of other channels too, right? Like if you see Amazon and Flipkart, they are trying to pilot it both in the quick com fashion, but also in the same day delivery business. A bunch of players have come up which are enabling brands to do same day delivery and quicker delivery, either through warehouse fulfillment or retail store fulfillment. The other way to look at why a vertical quick com can exist is in V1 right now, all your horizontals, Blinkit, Zepto, etc. have taken share off of Amazon and Flipkart, particularly in tier one. There's no reason why a Nykaa, a Myntra, all of these, a First Cry, all of these verticals aren't next. I think there are two, three key questions. Number one is, what is that unique category truth that allows you to build this company? For example, food in 10 minutes leads to just a better 10x, right? Like better taste, better freshness. Fashion, which has a humongous size, cross-fit, cross-silhouette, cross-color problem. So what does the storing and returns and all of that stack looks like? Medicine and pharma, which is a great volume to ASP play, but does not have the frequency. So there's enough sort of unique category nuances in each of these X's. We believe that the companies that will get created are where QuickCom and Avi, you say that a lot, where QuickCom is a feature, it's table stakes. So faster delivery exists, but they're solving that nuanced problem that leads to the 10x. Once you have faster delivery and you solve that particular pain point, for example, fashion could be that just because the loops are faster, you don't have that returns in RTO problem. So once that happens, I think new TAM shows up, TAM expands.
Yeah. I'm just going to stick on that point and connected to the enabler point as well. India's best enabler company is GoQuick. By last distance so far, the company that has got significant brand.
Speaking in an unbiased way.
Completely unbiased. Yeah, yeah. It's a portfolio company. If I was unbiased, I would still say GoQuick. Anyway, what is a unique problem they solve? Returns and RTO. It is an India unique problem.
Yeah.
It is not a problem that you face in Europe where you need a large business to come and sort of fix that. What are the other parts they've chosen to solve? WhatsApp. Again, very unique to India on how we work, right? So this QuickCom for X may be unique to India. There is a large pool of float running around in riders on return, right? Just can you imagine the amount of inventory that's just in bikes that's not getting used and just going is returning to the warehouse, right? So there's a large part of this float that could be captured. And I think India might show the world what QuickCom for X could look like because our problems are unique and our solutions will be as well.
That makes sense. That kind of brings us to a close in this chat. It's been great fun chatting with you, gentlemen. Before we close, I want to bring it to you, Avi. There's been so many phases over the last 20 odd years that you've been doing this where it has seemed like there's this new sort of big thing to look at. We are clearly in the middle of an inflection and it's very difficult to step back and look at how things are inflecting. We're in the middle of it. How does 2025 and beyond feel different to you?
Yeah, so I think my biggest goal from this is to get founders excited. We are not seeing enough entrepreneurship. And they should know that when a person who's been around this long, they may think jaded, gets FOMO, that means some big shit is happening, right? So like I told you guys earlier, I felt it in 2018. I'm feeling it now. You just said a few things. And often we used to, you know, so many times in the past, I remember in the first wave of entrepreneurship in India, the founders felt that the value was captured by the globals. Facebook captured some value, Google captured some value, so on and so forth. Second wave, value was captured back because you went from thin stack businesses to fuller stack businesses. But Uber still captured some value, Ola captured, your Swiggy, Zomato captured, so on and so forth, because it became about blocking and tackling. Now we are in the third wave. Then of course, we as Z47 Matrix managed to capture a lot of value in B2B, global products, financial services. In this phase, there are, and often people would say, you know, what's my right to play? What's my right to win? Everything is in place now. The market is in place. the GDP growth is happening. I was noting down when you were saying there are so many unique to India things playing out. Not only did you have WhatsApp, you had this returns issue, we had payments issue with UPI. You said it's the best stack. We have Aadhaar, so KYC is solved. You have Qcom, so another demand engine has been unlocked. There's AI where you can think of things so differently. To me, there are like so many why nows. You know, we often go and ask founders when they come and pitch saying, why has this not been done before? I can't even ask, I will still ask that question, but there are like 10 answers to it, right? Yet, I don't see excitement at that level in the entrepreneurship. So, I hope people realize that, you know, we go through cycles. We've had great success, by the way, in the public markets. You know, forget whether the stocks are up and down. We should be celebrating that there are 10 to 15 digital companies who have gone public, who were started in the last 10 years, yeah. Right? So, everything is aligned. I just want people to get started.
Just start it.
With that palpable note of enthusiasm, it's a wrap from Team Z47 here. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you. Thank you, Kishan.
Thanks, guys.
If you like this episode of Zero to Infinity, there are so many more that you must check out. If you like Indian startup content, hearing about founder journeys, or knowing more about emerging sectors that we're investing in, Zero to Infinity is the channel that you need to subscribe to.